Morning, everyone.
It's very hard to stand up and preach when you've heard Evan share amazing stories and Laura Dana share about how these shoeboxes have touched her life and were like a really significant answer to prayer. But just thank you so much for sharing. Evan and Niket, I know that this is just one of many stories that you guys could share. So I just want to honour you for your boldness and your courage and just keeping going. The Jesus Cafe. Maybe we should change the name. So, I'm going to start by being very vulnerable with you. Who's got a smartphone? Hands up, it's pretty much everyone. Now, if I was to ask you to share your screen time, how would you feel about that? So I'm going to be vulnerable with you and share my screen time a bit with you this week. So my screen time on average a day was 3 hours and 18 minutes. Which I don't think is too bad, given that I work in the internet field and I spend lots of time on making calls. Now I'm going to share my top three apps. So, my top app, which I spent this week alone, was 5 hours and 30 minutes, and that was on YouTube. Which, I make YouTube videos for my living, so I can caveat that. I can't say it was all work, I promise you. I don't know if you've seen it, the Whitney Houston Challenge. Has anyone seen that? Oh, we're going to do that in a few weeks. Yeah? You can have a look at that later. My second app, I spent 3 hours and 36 minutes on it this week, was WhatsApp, which I do lots of my calls on WhatsApp, so maybe that'll justify it. Now, I'm going to let you have some guesses at my next app. My next app, I spent an hour and 42 minutes on this week alone. I said this to Sarah last night, and she couldn't guess what the app was, so even she's going to find out this morning what it is. Yeah, you can guess. Instagram? No, it wasn't Instagram. Bible app? I wish it was the Bible app. I like a hard copy. As one of the pastors, the Bible app was not in my top three.
Train line.
TikTok? No. Train line? No.
Kindle?
No. Facebook? No.
Korean
Englishman? No.
Angry Birds?
Huh?
Angry Birds?
No. So I'm going to reveal this. You can all watch Sarah's reaction to guess what it is. So the app that I spent an hour and 42 minutes on this week was Pets for Homes. Maria was speaking this morning about how she loves having pets. I'm really excited about, I'm trying to convince Sarah that I want to get a dog as a family. So I spend most of my time at the moment looking for F1 type cockapoos and showing Sarah, saying, what about this one? What about this one? So that is my screen time this week. And today we're going to carry on our series of Everyone Has. And I said this to my daughter this morning and she found it hilarious. I said it to Sarah yesterday night and she found it not stupid. So this may split the room. But my two things are that everyone has weeds and everyone has wind. Now, as you can see, you're not sure if you meant to laugh. Thank you, Sabrina. I appreciate that. There's the silly people. I said to Sarah, Nick will laugh. Now, I'm not talking about the type of wind that you're all embarrassed about. It's about a different kind of wind. But if you're going to deny you have wind, then that's a different one. But we're going to talk about weeds and we're going to talk about wind today. So, if you want to open up your Bibles, we're going to start from our passage, which is going to be Galatians 2, 20 to 21. It's coming up on the screen. Now, Galatians is a letter that one of the original church fathers, Paul, wrote to a church in Galatia, which is kind of like around where Turkey is now. But this is from Galatians 2, and just a few short verses. It says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. Lord, I thank you for your word. Thank you for our time already this morning. Time in worship, time in remembrance, hearing testimonies of how you're working in people's lives and how even just small shoeboxes can have real impacts across the world, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you might help us this morning. Help us to look at the weeds in our life, how we can catch the wind of you, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you might move in our lives today. Use these words for your glory. Amen. So let me start by looking at weeds. So I've got a video. This was me in my garden this week, removing the weeds. Now, if you've ever got a bit of a garden, weeds are complex, right? Because the thing about weeds is what's clever of them is they look pretty, they generally grow extremely well, and they can trick you into thinking they're good. But they're actually very destructive, and they will ruin good things. And things that don't initially look impressive actually get strangled out. So these weeds, a few people come into our garden, a few people say, oh, it's looking great. And I knew they were weeds. I knew they were overgrown. So I just spent, I don't know how long it took me, about 10 minutes pulling them out. Look, I did the full works. I'm available if people need gardening. Edward's looking at me going, that is a terrible bit of gardening. He's probably like, I've missed one as well. But I want to ask you, what are the weeds in your life? And I don't want to say, are there any? Because actually, the Bible says that all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Which means I'd be quite comfortable in saying all of us have weeds in our life. Things that maybe we haven't paid attention to. Things that we just kind of ignore it. But they can be destructive. Now, it'd be very obvious things. Maybe you struggle with alcohol. Just drink too much. Maybe there's sexual addictions. Maybe it's with your finances. Maybe it's gambling. Maybe it's just constantly getting into debt, just struggling to get balances of that. Maybe it's violence. Maybe there's just obvious things that people might be able to see. But sometimes it's actually more often than that, really subtle things. Maybe you're judgmental. Maybe you're angry. Maybe you really struggle with anxiousness. Maybe you just want to be in control. These things can take over our lives. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount talks about, no, it's not in the Sermon on the Mount, but Jesus talks about the weeds being like the cares of this world that choke us. You just sometimes feel just choked by life. Different things stressing you out. You just know that that thing isn't good for you. Even now, just say to the Lord, Lord, what are the weeds in my life? Trust me, I reflect on this a lot. I'm a bit of a control and a bit of an anxious person sometimes. You can ask my wife. That's very true of me. Sort of worry about different things and then want to try and work it out. Stuff like that. Part of the good nature is that I'm a problem solver. I like solving problems. But if it goes too far, it ends up actually just destroying me and eating me inside. But in that passage we read, it says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Jesus wasn't anxious. Jesus wasn't controlling. Jesus didn't give in to loads of alcohol. He wasn't stressed about finances. He wasn't worried about any of that stuff. When we say, Jesus, I can't do this on my own. I need your help. We receive his love, his forgiveness, his grace. It's like an exchange that happens. So we baptized a few people a few weeks ago, Roy, Munya, and Michael. And the beauty is what baptism represents. It represents dying to ourselves and rising again with Jesus, which means we no longer have to be dealing with this stuff. And it means we're able to live free from condemnation, free from judgment. You're here today and you've kind of got things in your life where you go, if someone knew about that, you just almost feel ashamed. I think I'd encourage you that if I asked people to put their hands up, most of us would put our hands up. You're not alone in that. When we put our trust in Jesus, receive his grace, there is no judgment. Jesus knows. He came for us. In Romans 1, it says, for although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or gave thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. This was the Apostle Paul again writing to a church in Rome, basically saying, look, these people knew about God, but they did nothing about it. They knew about his love for them, his care for them, Jesus coming for them, but then they chose to do nothing about it. When I talk about the weeds, we need to commit to removing them from our lives, to create space for good stuff to grow. Don't just leave it unintended. I don't know if you've ever moved into like a flat and the garden's there and you're like, oh my gosh, this is a mess because someone's just let it get overgrown. Don't let that be your life. I saw this clip on YouTube this week, actually. It was a personal trainer, and she was asking someone this concept of, if you were to look after someone else's body for a year, how would it be different to how you look after your own body in terms of like fitness and what you put into it? It was she was trying to provoke people to think about, am I putting the good stuff in? Am I looking after myself? And the same, if someone turned up to your house where they go, oh, your garden's a bit overgrown. Oh, we're going to have to do some work here. Put that in our personal lives. Is there some work that actually we just need? If we just take one step back and go, do you know what? I've let this get overgrown. I've not paid attention to it. And the thing is, there's always weeds to deal with. Always. If you've ever had a garden, what happens with weeds is you take one out, and a few weeks later, either that one is coming back because you didn't take the root out, or another one has grown up in that place. To live for Christ is like a constant tending to and removing of the weeds. Constant. There's always things. Whether it's at work, in your home, there's always going to be things that come up that make you go, oh, God, I need your help here. I want to encourage us to not let small things become big things. That weed I'm carrying there would have been a tiny thing about 5 or 6 months ago. Because I've done nothing with it, I could just go, oop. It's like 3 foot tall. We have to be intentional with weeds, with our sin, be clinical. Jesus said in Matthew 5:28, he took sin very seriously. When he talks about sin, he says we should tear it out. If something causes us sin, we should tear it out or cut it off. That's not just going, I'll just leave it and hope it gets better. Jesus, when he talks about sin, says tear it out. If your right hand causes you sin, cut it off. I want to encourage us all that don't know God's love and sacrifice. Let's not sing about his amazing grace and all that he's done for us and then go, cool, that was nice. That was nice. Yeah, yeah. Let's kind of get into our garden and pull out the weeds, going, this shouldn't be here, so that other good things can flourish. Romans 6:11 says, you must also consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ. One of the beautiful things about removing the weeds creates space and opportunities for the things of God and that he's put in us to flourish. Now, removing the weeds does create space, but it doesn't produce life. It just means there's space. And this is where we get to the wind. Now, wind is a bit of a strange thing. Now, unless there's like proper geographer people, things in this. You don't know where it comes from, where it goes, but we all know there's so much power in it, right? So much extraordinary power in it. I got sent this video a few weeks ago by a friend who lives by the sea of kite surfers. It's kind of mesmerizing, isn't it? Living by faith, living in the Spirit is a bit like this. You see, they're catching the wind. They're in the sea, in the right position. They've got all the gear. But interestingly, unless there's wind, it doesn't blow. Nothing happens. That would just be a person sat in the sea with a kite. But because of the wind, look at him. Cool, right? I'd love to be able to do that. Imagine doing that down Camden Lock or something like that. You would have no idea what's going on. But to be able to live by the Spirit and to be able to flourish into all that God has for us, we need to be positioned. So that means in the right environment. If this person wasn't in the sea, they're not going to be able to kite surf. For us, that could look like being part of community, being part of church fellowship. Coming on Sundays is great. Getting stuck into things in midweek, serving people, loving people, being vulnerable with people. This is what it means to be in the right position. Then we have to be equipped. We have to have the right tools to be able to do it. If that person got into the sea, good start. But if he wants to go kite surfing, they need the kite. They need a wetsuit at this time of year. They've probably got a life jacket, probably got a surfboard of some kind. So they've got the right position, got the right equipment. And they need to be carried, swept up by the wind. I don't know if you've ever tried to fly a kite. Who's ever tried to fly a kite? Have you ever tried to fly a kite on a non-windy day? Lots of running and not much work and not much success, right? It's going. Yeah, like this. It's staying up. Get it higher. Without the wind, it's like totally futile. Totally, totally futile. Do you ever think when talks like this, what am I actually supposed to do then? Yeah, I sort of get the concept. What am I supposed to do? Jesus said this in John 16, verse 13. He says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. So Jesus said that the Holy Spirit will guide us in all truth. Now, how does he do that? Now, I've been a Christian for how long? 30 years, not quite. Nearly. In a few years it will be, since I was young. And I don't think I've ever heard the audible voice of God saying, look, do this. I don't think I've ever heard that.
Don't talk like that. Cool.
Might do. Never heard. Have you heard? Yeah, Darth Vader.
Luke, I'm your father.
Oh. He might say that. He might say that to me. He might not say that to you. But he might say that to me. So we can use that illustration another time. But one of the ways I found that God guides me most is through his word. This is not just a book of nice stories. They go, oh, cool, there's that one where they marched around a wall for 7 days and then it fell down. Or there's that one where that guy got eaten by a whale and spat out. And there's that one where that guy built a boat and the whole earth got flooded. And then there's that one where there's 3 guys in a fire and then there was another man. And then there was a one in a lion's den. This isn't just like nice stories. This is God's way of speaking to us, showing us his love, showing us how he cares about the details of our lives. The words of Jesus are written in here. The words of Jesus are in here for us to read and to understand. It's crazy. There's not many people from 2,000 years ago that we're still reading their words and saying they have impact today. Not just because you're in a church. Most globally, people would happily agree, well, Jesus seems to be very influential because people are still paying attention to the words he said. So we have God's word. Another way God speaks to us is through prayer. Now, prayer can be complex because I'm not just talking about the request prayers. Lots of us would be quite comfortable with the idea, I think, of asking God for something. When people are saying prayers, I don't know, if something sad happens, you say thoughts and prayers, and you're really saying, Lord, would you be with them? But one of the ways I found that God speaks to me most sometimes is just listening prayer, where you actually go, God, would you just help me? Would you speak to me? And sometimes you find these thoughts just come to your mind which weren't already there. They're not about the dinner. They're not about what you're going to do tomorrow. They're not about that. Just these obscure thoughts out of nowhere, which aren't weird. They're generally like, oh, that makes sense. Suddenly start to come. Listen in prayer. I want to encourage you, practice some listening prayer this week. It's weird sitting in silence. There's this new trend that the teenagers are doing is, can you sit for 15 minutes without touching anything in your room? They put a timer on and then see what happens. I reckon all of us adults would struggle with that as well. Yeah? Try it. I try it and immediately I'm like, let me just check. Minute 30. Okay. One of the other ways I found that God speaks to me is through other people, through wise counsel. Many people across this room I've spoken to at different points and just been such an encouragement. A few weeks ago, I was at a pub with a friend and I was just saying, look, I've just left my job. I'm trying to work out things. I feel like it's overwhelming. He goes, you need a structure. You need to work out a way to sort your life so you can sort your ideas and the tasks you've got to do. And it's been so helpful because I wouldn't have got there on my own. Now, I probably could have got it from the Bible, but I got it from his wisdom, of him sharing what he's learned and how he's experienced it. But I had to be in that place to be vulnerable with him, saying, this is what I'm struggling with. And he went, try this. Really, really helpful. I think so much actually being open and vulnerable with people actually really builds us up. Some way, the easiest way that God speaks to us is through the people who are right here with us. I look across this room and I know there's lots of wise people with lots of experience, lots of thoughts, lots of ways of doing things that I know that in most situations, probably someone, oh, they could probably help you in that. You want to know how to share Jesus in a cafe, a van and a cat? They'll talk to you. How'd you share Jesus so boldly? I'm sure they'd love to share. In sports, there's this concept of like walking in the Spirit. Actually, one more thing. One of the ways that God speaks is also through the gifts of the Spirit, which we talked about a few weeks ago when we were looking at 1 Corinthians 12, 13 and 14. Now, one of the ways can be prophecy, which is where just someone completely unknown just says, I feel like God's saying this. And you might go, how did you know? How did you know that? Sarah and I over the years have had different people prophesy over us and we've been listening to them over the last few weeks. And you're like, how did you know that? And they didn't. But God was just using them to be an encouragement to Sarah and I, to build us up and to speak to us. And there's also one of the other spiritual gifts is wisdom, which, as I explained, can come actually often from other people speaking into our lives. It's a flow state. So flow state is what psychologists call kind of this thing of everything becomes aligned. Sports people know it. It's like your mind, your energy, your focus, you're sort of just carrying along. Lewis Hamilton talks about it. He says this, when you hit that perfect zone, time slows down. You're just fully there and every move feels effortless. Michael Jordan said this. He says, this was a game-winning shot. I didn't rush. I didn't feel nervous. I just felt the game was coming to me. That's when you're really in the moment. Everything becomes slower. Now, I haven't had many flow states because I'm not an elite athlete. But even sometimes when I play football, it just works. Just works. You're like, how did you do it? I go, just worked. Even this morning, a van was in his flow state. 7 o'clock on Kentish Town Road. I was walking with my hood up, just kind of preparing. A van, how far did you run this morning? 15K was it? Just smashed out of 15K. But we didn't see, Evan didn't see me. I just gave him a wave, but he didn't see me because he was in the flow. He was in the zone. 15K. I can only imagine doing that. But it's like a sense of focus that comes. The sense of it just is lining up. And when we walk in the Spirit, it's like that, but even deeper. Even deeper. It's not self-powered, but Spirit-powered. It's not human excellence, but like divine empowerment. The reason why Michael Jordan, why Lewis Hamilton get to these flow states is because of years and years of hard work, practice, discipline, putting the right things in. They're not just fluking it. If we want to kind of walk in this ease of the Spirit, you're not just going to fluke it. It's going to come from being in God's Word. It's going to come from listening to Him. Taking on counsel, wise counsel from people, being vulnerable with one another. And there's moments where it just starts to feel like it's clicking. I don't know if you've ever had it, maybe in work, but you're just going, oh, this is just working. Why is this just working? Lots of the time, if you're experienced, it just comes from, you just know what you're doing. Like Dan, if I hear Dan play bass, it just works. But that's because Dan has spent years and years and years playing bass. It's not because he just, oh, wow, magic powers. No, it's not how it works. Jesus said this in John 15, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Jesus is saying, look, I am this vine. It's like a tree, it's like a grape tree, the vine. You get grafted in, which means then you're part of it, and then suddenly you start to absorb from the roots of that vine. He's saying, abide in me. Look at my word. Pray, listen, be around people, just absorb it, and you'll start to bear much fruit. In Zechariah, God spoke to his people, and he says, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit. That's how you'll achieve these things. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit. And we see this kind of walking in step, this flow state thing come from Jesus, totally modeled by him when he was on earth. He was obedient to what he felt God was telling him. He didn't force things. He wasn't controlling at all. He wasn't impatient. He only did what he saw and heard God telling him to do. And he went with the wind. The wind of the Spirit. He went with that. He didn't get lost in those things. Imagine it. Jesus, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, talking to people and they go, no, I don't believe you. And he's like, do you know who I am? But he was compassionate and loving. We can't force the wind to blow. I think that's what's really important. We need to get in the right position. We have the right equipment, but we can't force it. And then allow, and then trust that the Holy Spirit will carry us. I'm going to read this from 1 John 2, verse 4 to 6. You might have seen this. This has come up on the Bible app this week. Those who have got better screen time than me. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar. And the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Is John writing to say there should be evidence of us walking with Jesus in our life? If that kite surfer started walking down Camden High Street, we wouldn't need to question what they did. Oh, you're a kite surfer. It would be obvious to see. If in our workplaces, in our families, in our homes, in our streets, in the coffee shops and the supermarkets, would people recognize something different about us? Would they? It doesn't mean you're going to be suddenly praying for healing all the time. Even the way we interact, sometimes just smiling, saying thank you to the cashier at Sainsbury's who's beat you finally so you can approve whatever you're buying or something like that. Just sometimes being the kindest person in the room can actually start to reflect something different of who Jesus is. I'm going to start to come into land now. So I want you to remember, we need to pull the weeds out of our life and we need to try and catch the wind of the Spirit. This is what Jesus said. He says, so whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also for them. For this is the law and the prophets. Enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few. Why is it narrow? I shared it in the afternoon service last week, but I saw this picture of on the internet of like a signpost where it says on one side, believer of God, with a whole ton of people going that way. And then on the other side, it said follower of Jesus, with a very few amount of people going that way. Because lots of people, this is what Jesus is saying, is the way is narrow. There's lots of people who might say they believe me. They believe who I am, what I say. Maybe you grew up, yeah, I believe in Jesus. But that's different to following Jesus. Because when Jesus spoke to people, when he was here on this earth, he said, give up everything, follow me. Do this. So many times in the Bible, it talks about don't just be hearers of the word, but be doers of what is in it. It means removing these things from our lives that hinder us. And then once we're removed, we can start to live intentionally in the Spirit. And one of the easiest ways for me I found to do that is with other people, as I said. Because interestingly, when you're with other people, you realize that sometimes you're a bit bent out of shape. If you do it in isolation, you're in like this echo chamber of your thoughts, your opinions just coming through. If you're with other people, they suddenly go, I think you're wrong. Oh, I don't see it like that. That's where actually you sort of get bent back into shape. Because you end up, you realize, if like a car, I'm not a mechanic, but I know if like one of your wheels is out of line, you'll start turning that and you won't even realize it because you can sort of adjust the steering wheel. But when a mechanic lines up, it's like, oh, hang on, you're completely off balance. You need to bring that in. And then you can run straight. If you run offline for too long without anyone nudging you back in, you're going to be miles away. Miles away. We need each other. I'm going to read Galatians 2 to finish off again. I'm going to emphasize the last bit because I think in this it can feel like I'm saying, be better, do more. I'm not, promise you. It says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. This is the key bit. I do not nullify the grace of God. For if righteousness was through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. This isn't like a self-help talk, I promise you. This is trying to remind us that Jesus gave his life for us. He came to this earth, he lived a perfect life, died unjustly, and then rose again, defeating death and sin. Don't pull out the weeds in your life to earn God's love. Don't take that from this. Pull out the weeds in your life because God has already shown you his love and mercy through Jesus. Go, do you know what? I don't want to be hindered by these things because God's already poured out his love for me. He's shown me his grace through Jesus. We don't catch the wind in our sails by our own strength. You're not going to be able to. It's the Spirit that carries us. The Spirit that is poured out because Jesus came to this earth, died for us and said, I'll send the Holy Spirit to help you. So don't take from this talk, I need to be better. If anything, take it that God loves you, has shown you grace and mercy when you thoroughly don't deserve it, and longs for you to flourish into all that he's got for you. And hand back to Dan in a sec, but here's some questions I'd love you to ponder. You can take a picture of this if you want. Maybe you might want to talk about it with a friend this week, a spouse, in your community groups. What are the weeds you've allowed to grow in your life? If you were to take a step back and go, oh yeah, that funny thing isn't, I've just let it kind of just happen. Just let it boil away. Just let it kind of grow. And how can you get ready to catch the wind? And in a sense, that's kind of going, am I in the right position? Am I putting the right kind of effort in so that God can use me? Maybe there's just things that you're just like, well, I need, think of the kite surfer. I'm not even in the sea, so how am I going to be able to go kite surfing? Right? Maybe you've got totally the wrong equipment. You're totally unprepared. That's totally okay. So let me pray for us, and then I'll hand back to Dan and Drew and the guys to help us. Maybe if you want to stand. Lord, I want to thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for coming to this earth for us. Thank you, Lord, that when we put our trust in you, that it's a sense we're dying to living our own way and rising to live for you. Lord, and I thank you for your grace, Lord. Let us never lose the perspective of your grace is what is for us. That we can never earn any more of it. There's nothing we could do. You've already done it. Lord, and I pray through the gentleness and kindness of your Holy Spirit, you'd be revealing to us all what are the weeds that we've allowed to grow in our life. Pray if we're sat here going, I haven't got any weeds, I pray, Lord, that you'd show us. Pray, Lord, whether they're big or subtle, Lord, I pray that you'd be able to hold up a mirror to us. Lord, and I pray that as we remove the weeds, we might be able to create space for you to blow in, Lord. Lord, that we would be men and women who would be able to walk and flourish into all the things you have for us. I pray that we would almost reach this flow state that those Michael Jordan and Lewis Hamilton talk about, where it just all clicks. So help us to be diligent in our preparation. Help us to looking to grow, looking to strengthen ourselves, Lord, so that when the wind blows, Lord, we might be like those kite surfers and just be able to enjoy the fullness of you. Jesus, help us to be people who abide in your word, in your prayer with each other. And I pray that through that, Lord, we might see you raise up a people who can just continue to glorify you. Not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit, I pray.
Good morning, church. I think it's good to have sometimes sharing some testimonies, and I have one that recently happened in a coffee shop. For those who don't know, Nuket and I run a little coffee shop in Chester Road. About 3 weeks ago, there were two ladies came into our cafe. The lady was 82 years old. The daughter was 50 years old, and she has a little baby. They walk into the cafe, and I noticed they have a Spanish accent. So I said, oh, they speak Spanish. Nuket and Fumi was on the other side, and they were doing a little prayer there. When they see that they were praying, they said, oh, are they Catholic? Because they were Catholic from Argentina. I said, no, they are not Catholic. She's my wife, and we are Christians. Oh, what is the difference? So I explain. I was Catholic, and now I am Christian, and I explain. We don't pray to Virgin Mary, no saints. We pray to our Heavenly Father in the name of Jesus Christ. So I had the opportunity to explain the gospel to both of them. And if you want, I can pray for you, I said. Yes, yes. But the mom, the 82 years old, she says, look, More than me, I want you to pray for my son. He has been in such a difficulties with his family, in his workplace, he's going through a lot of difficulties. Pray for him. I said, okay, give me his name, so we pray. And then they start rushing, they want to leave. They said, okay, no, no problem. I said, if you want, I can anoint you, I said. What does it mean? I said, it's a little oil. Yes, yes, the lady or lady says. So I anointed her, and she left. That was on a Friday. The following Tuesday, the daughter, the 50 years old, she came back again with other two friends. Look, I brought my friends, they said. Other mothers as well. Oh, welcome, I said, come. So they ordered their coffee, and she said, look, Ivan, a miracle happened after you pray. Oh, come and share with me, I said. After we left home, 2 hours later, my brother called us, and he made this contract that he had been waiting for such a long time. And the funny thing is, he made the contract with the Minister of Tourism and Culture of Ecuador. Oh, God has a sense of humor. That's fantastic, I said. That was a miracle. He had been waiting for a long time, this contract, and he got it. And I said, it's fantastic. I said, where is your mom? My mom is bothering. She wants to come back, she says. I said, bring her. So they came on a Thursday. The whole week has been drilling my mind, she says. So I brought her. I'm going to leave her with you, and she wants to talk to you. I said, okay. The lady said to me, look, I have deep sadness in my heart, and I don't know what to do. Would you mind? What did you put the other day in my head? She says. I said, only anointing oil. Something did it in my whole body, she says. Oh, the Holy Spirit touched you, I said to her. And I said, but you must receive our Lord Jesus. You remember why I explained the other day? Yes, I used to go back home to a Bible study, and I know. The Lord says, my sheep will hear my voice. And they will come. So I said to her, would you like to receive the Lord? I can lead you in prayer. When can we go to church, she says. I said, no, here, to your home. No, I said, here. Just, you're going to say a prayer, and I will lead you. But you're going to pronounce with your mouth and believe, not here, in your heart. That is the key thing, in your heart. You need to open the door of your heart for Jesus to come in. Would you do that? Yes, she says, I am ready. Okay? So what shall I do? Shall I put my hands like it? Just feel comfortable, whatever you feel. Main thing is you're going to say it. So I said, okay, come, let's pray. So we led her in the prayer. As we were going in the prayer, she broke down. Wait, wait, she says. Okay, so it took time a little bit until she received the Lord. Now, I said, the angels have write your name in the book of life. This is something amazing that it happens in heaven, I said. And she was in tears, the lady. But what shall I do now? This question I have. Shall I go to my country? Shall I stay here? What do you think I would do? She says. I cannot advise on that, but I know God can tell you where or what to do. I said, in Matthew 6:6 says that you go to your room, shut the door behind. If you are able, go on your knees or sit down, and the Father in heaven in secret, he will know. Once you have in your heart what to do, then go for it. Don't listen to your children. Don't listen to people. Don't listen to you. Listen what is in your heart. And he will take you, I said. Fantastic, she says, thank you. But I want for my son. I said, tell him to come. If he wants to come, I can talk to him about the Lord. Because he is the one who can rebuild our lives. Whatever is broken, he will rebuild. He will put it right. In John 10:10 says, the devil will come to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus came to give us life in abundance. Okay, I will tell my son to come. This Friday, the son came. So one by one, they are coming. So I talked to him as well. Thank you, Ivan, he says. He has a big company here and in Europe. So he was so happy. Now it makes sense, he says. He says, as a Catholic, we don't read the Bible, so you don't know the truth. But here we read the Bible and we follow what Jesus says. All the glory to him. Fantastic, he says. And I'm going to see my kids from today. The things will change because we ask our Heavenly Father. He will begin to reveal. He already done it with the contract you had. Yes, he says, I know. So I said to him, just trust. When you have a time, just come back. He said, give me your number so I can, you know, have the contact with you. I said, yeah. So I gave my number. And he said, oh, how shall I call you? It's just Ivan. Maybe chef or something. No, don't call me chef. I said, just call me Ivan. But I need to have reference in my phone because I have other friends with similar names. So let me think. Jesus Cafe. That's what I'm going to call. That's a good thing. I said, actually, this cafe belongs to him. I'm just a worker here. So it was amazing, you know, how God operates. He says, one hungry beggar take the bread to another hungry beggar. What I have learned has just passed. So I want to encourage you all. Let's do the same thing with our friends, with our families. All the glory to our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who gives us everything. He died for us. And it's wonderful to share another one. It's been touched the whole family in Argentina. And he says, I want to have a big contract, he says. God says, I will make you head, not tail. So you need to trust in him. So I just want to pray and give all the glory to our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who is touching us and touching other people and encourage you us all. Heavenly Father, we thank you for opportunities you've given us to share the gospel, to bring the bread of life to those who don't know, Lord. I pray that for this family in particular, you open the eyes of their heart and they will come to you, Lord, all of them, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
We lost a dear mother in our church. Many of you know her, Comfort. Many, dear to many, and so encouraging all the time. So I think you're going to just...
Auntie Comfort has been in the church. I knew her years ago. It's not the period to talk about her life, but she was with us in Auckland Burley for years and then came to Bassey Street. She was so kind, so gentle, you can hardly know that she's here. But she was part of Bassey Street fully. She knows so many people. She prays. She's a warrior. Everything that is going on in the church, she prays about them. She is involved in everything that is happening. In this shoebox, she's not active enough to put, but she will give money to fill the boxes. The children's activities and everything, she's involved in it. She's so quiet, you wouldn't know what she's doing, but she will put something towards whatever that is going on. She prays for everyone. Elders, everything that is happening, she will pray about them. She has been such a part of the Bassett Street. Unfortunately, we lost her in this battle. She's going to be, her funeral is going to be on the 10th of December. Her children are planning everything about her funeral. And they really asked for the members of our church to be able to come to say farewell to her. She has been part of this church for many years. She's left, for me, is a lot of big gap in my life, which I'm finding hard to live with, but I've got to. Roy, I can understand. Being with your sister all these years is difficult to let go. But as she was going, she said, I want to go with, to be with Jesus. The smile she had on that day, which I missed, was her daughter said, as she was just going, the smile, she became so young because she knows what the person that she's waiting for is taking her home. So it would be very nice if we can really be part. It's a shame that we cannot do it in the church here because the church is quite small, because she's really touched so many lives and so many people want to be involved in saying bye-bye to her. So whoever that is going to go, please, because the children are planning everything and they just want to know the number of people that they can cater for. I really miss her.
I'd like to say a few words on behalf of my sister who passed away on Friday. We lived in Old Widdiam Road. Grew up there. Played in the street. I tied her up to a lamppost up there. A friend of mine was on the lamppost and he fell down and broke her nose. My mum said my dad's going to give me a walloping. I hid under the couch. He came in looking for me. I crawled out. He got his belt out. He's going to slap me with it. But he didn't slap me. Just told me off. I forgave him. Well, he forgave me. But I grew up loving her. And she forgave me. We grew up very close, we did. We loved each other dearly. We lived together in Kenniston House. And in where I live now, Denton Towers. She lived next door and I lived next door. We got to love one another. And then she moved away to King's Cross. Didn't live there very long though, unfortunately, because she became very ill. Went into hospital many times. Passed away on Friday. She looked very peaceful in the bed. Love her. And I hope she's with God now. Anyway, thank you very much.